Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And we're going to continue our series on Isaiah 13,
14,
and
15. No, 12, 13, and 14.
Totally wrong. Okay, go for it.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us get together today and to go over Isaiah, open our minds and our hearts and our ears and give us understanding, and that we don't have any technical difficulties in this session.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so Isaiah 12. So we left off with God judging Israel and Judah, right? So the Assyrians were coming and they had conquered Israel and then went after Judah. But remember, God said we're not gonna that he wasn't gonna let them overtake Judah.
Right.
So Isaiah 12 opens with a song of praise, and it gives us this is the song of praise is coming from someone who has fully surrendered, who is already experiencing the benefits of Jesus, you know, when he's king, who's already, and we talked about that a little bit last time. It's coming from someone who's carried their cross, right?
Yes.
And is now in feeling the peace and joy of being saved. So I'll start there. A song of praise. On that day, you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Because remember, in the previous chapters, you know, God was very detailed on why he was allowing what was happening to happen, you know, and what they had done. Like, he was very clear on what they had done and how they had sinned. So God had every reason to be angry. And here this person, which I thought was important, is recognizing how that what God had allowed was his discipline was deserved, right?
Right.
Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord himself, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. So that there, you know, and he'll say it, I will not be afraid, and how he's choosing God to be his strength and his song. And to me, this here was like, this was a decision, right?
Right.
Like, because when we go through those hard times, right, when we carry our cross, it's not easy to say, yeah, it has to be a choice, right? Because it's not easy to trust, right? To trust God. And when you're going through all your stuff and you don't understand what's happening, you know, I know how this can be really hard, you know?
Or is it more of, it's not that we can't trust God, but it's hard to trust what we can't see, right?
There you go. Yeah. Better said. Yep. And, but, you know, we have to remember that God, you know, as I hadn't read Isaiah before, but as I was reading, this is how perfect God is as a father and one who disciplines, you know, because only he knows what's going to help us learn, right?
Come,
and to correct,
come from
correct
it,
our
right.
wind. Yeah. Correct
right.
our ways and return to him. You know, only he knows exactly what it's going to take for us to change, you know?
Right.
And another thing that I wanted to point out here, too, was that when we're going through this, what better time for Satan to tempt us? Because if you don't, because for me, it took a long time to get here to the song of praise. Right. But now when I read it, I can like, oh, man, like I can totally, you know, relate to it now.
Right.
But for those who can't, who struggle, because sometimes I think we can get stuck in that tornado, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, but what an easy, Because if we're not careful, that's where Satan can tempt us and harden our hearts.
Right.
Instead of letting God heal us and comfort us. Because you see here on the previous one where he says, your anger has turned away and you have comforted us. You know? So when you wait and you endure and you stand firm, anger will turn away and he will comfort you as only he can. Right.
And it's just like us with our kids, you know, exactly. For me, when my kids were little, I would be so mad at them, but it's like, you know,
I thought the same thing. Them. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And on that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, make his works known among the peoples, declare that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and sing, citizen of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in his greatness. So how do you know that you're here? You know, here at this place where, you know, this a song of praise, where you want to sing a song of praise, you want to tell everybody.
Right. And you want to make his work
known.
This is our theme song right here, right?
Yes. That's how you know you're there, because it's you.
You want to shout it
out. You want to share it. And who does that remind us of? That reminds us of, I thought of, because where it said from, you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. It reminded me of the woman at the well. Remember? She couldn't wait to go tell everybody.
Right.
So again, this is a person who recognizes their sin, regrets it, and has repented and has returned to Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I remember he gives us these little, this is in between the judgments. He gives us these little, like you said, gems. So,
right.
So I love that. So, okay, so.
And that's, I think that's what keeps us going, right? Because even though it's hard, we get this little piece of heaven and then we're like, oh, I like this. I'm going to keep trusting you. And it's like,
yes.
Troubled waters again, but once you get that other little piece of heaven, who doesn't want that to keep continuing, you know?
That's kind of like life, right? Because as long as we're here on earth, then we're going to see those trials. So, but there is a place of rest in between. Okay, so Isaiah 13, a pronouncement against Babylon. So remember, the Assyrians came and they conquered Israel, and then they tried to conquer Judah. But now, you know, this part where Babylon is judged, God allows us to see that everybody that he shows justice towards everybody. You know, like nobody gets away with sin, and so now. You know, there was the Assyrians, where here comes somebody bigger and badder. Here comes Babylon. And so Babylon comes in and then conquers the Assyrians. So this is the pronouncement against Babylon. A pronouncement concerning Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw. Lift up a banner on a barren mountain. Call out to them. Signal with your hand, and they will go through the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. Yes, I have called my warriors. So when the Babylons come in against the Assyrians, So now he's judging Babylon. So the ones that are going to come in and judge Babylon, it's a great, huge army. You know, it's an army that everybody knows that it's, you know, it says they can hear them. They uproar among the kingdoms. Like he gives a very descriptive a vision of how great this army is. Mm-hmm. And they're so great that Babylon, remember the king of Babylon was Nebuchadnezzar. Right. So Nebuchadnezzar thought he was all great and almighty, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he has no idea this is coming. They're going to get blindsided by the army that's coming against them. And this isn't only a message for the wicked, but it's also a message for the Israelis that there's hope, and how God is, that the wicked doesn't get, that the wicked don't get away with what they do, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So that's another way to look at this. So it says the Lord and the weapons of his wrath to destroy the whole country. Well, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, everyone's hands will become weak and every man will lose heart. They will be horrified. Pain and agony will seize them. So keep that in mind, because I'm going to bring that up later in one of our questions. They will be horrified. Pain and agony will seize them. That's the description of this army that's coming against Babylon. So this army that's coming is another, it's God's instrument of choice to judge Babylon.
Babylon. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and remember, in these prophecies, they're happening at this time. At this time, and also when the second coming of Jesus, too. So he gives a description of Nebuchadnezzar, what's happening. Yeah, what's coming to them right then and there, but also what's going to happen in the second coming of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they will be in anguish like a woman in labor. They will look at each other, their faces flushed with fear. Look, the day of the Lord is coming. So here, when we see that the day of the Lord is coming, so that's at that time it meant it for them, but for us it means, you know, for the second coming of Jesus. Cruel with fury and burning anger to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners. Indeed, the stars of the sky and its constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark when it rises. So this is all talking about later when the second coming of Jesus, and the moon will not shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked people for their iniquities. And remember, Babylon formed after the flood. And they were, remember, they built the tower. Remember, they were very organized on how they were, how they were going to rebel against God. Remember, they said, if you knock us down, we'll rebuild it. Like they weren't, they had no fear against God. And they were very organized on how they worshiped their idols and all of that. They were evil and very wicked. And that's kind of like how we are now, if you think about it, you know, because we can dress it up really nice and pretty to where it doesn't look like we're rejecting God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will shake from its foundations at the wrath of the Lord of armies on the day of his burning anger. Like wandering gazelles and like sheep without a shepherd, each one will turn to his own people. Each one will flee to his own land. Whoever is found will be stabbed, and whoever is caught will die by the sword. The children will be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and their houses will be looted and their wives raped. Look, I am stirring up the Medes against them who cannot be bought off with silver. So he's saying, like, these that are coming, you know, can't even bought off with, they don't care about the silver and the gold. There's no stopping them. Their bows will cut young men to pieces. They will have no compassion on offspring. They will not look with pity on children. And Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the glory of the pride of the Chaldeans, will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. So we know when he references Sodom and Gomorrah, he means complete destruction.
Right.
When God overthrew them, it will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. So we know that Babylon, this happened. It did happen eventually. It was completely destroyed, and it eventually, after Cyrus conquered it, Babylon became desolate, and until this day, it's no more. In the same way, when Jesus comes again, such nations and people will be completely gone. Okay, Isaiah 14, Israel's return. For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and will choose Israel again. I was like, oh, you know, because he always chooses Israel again.
Right.
Because anytime I see chosen, or, you know, like, he'll choose Israel again. And it's not like he has to choose Israel. He keeps his promise to Israel.
Right.
He will settle them on their own land. The resident aliens will join them and be united with the house of Jacob. The nations will escort Israel and bring it to its homeland. Then the house of Israel will possess them as male and female slaves in the Lord's land. They will make captives of their captors and will rule over their oppressors. So no more enemies. Okay, so here we get another, you know, gem that Israel will return to the promised land. And then we move on to the downfall of the king of Babylon. So here we're going to see a description of not only the fall of Nebuchadnezzar, but also the fall of the king, like the spiritual king of, or the spiritual Babylon and the spiritual king, Satan. So we're not only going to see a description of what that's going to look like, what it looked like for Nebuchadnezzar, but we're also going to see what it's going to look like when Jesus comes again and he
takes sent the enemy captive. Yeah.
Captive and sends them to hell for good.
Right.
When the Lord gives you rest from your pain, torment, and hard labor, again, you were forced to do, you will sing the song of contempt about the king of Babylon and say how the oppressor has quieted down and how the raging has become quiet. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. It struck the peoples in anger with unceasing blows. It subdued the nations in rage with relentless persecution. And then here where it shows, you know, how, where it says how the oppressor has quieted down and how the raging has become quiet. Mm-hmm. It did remind me of when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are, you know, weary.
Mm-hmm.
Where it describes that way, how when the oppressor quiets down and is quiet and you find rest. The whole earth is calm and rest. That was the one that reminded me of that. People shout with a ringing cry. Even the cypresses and the cedars of Lebanon rejoice over you. Since you have been laid low, no lumberjack has come against us. Sheol, which is hell, below is eager to greet your coming. So now we see there that he's talking about Satan. You know, the downfall of Satan. Mm-hmm. Stirring up the spirits of the departed for you, all the rulers of the earth, making all the kings of the nations rise from their thrones. They all respond to you, saying, you too have become as we are. You have become like us. So there is describing that when Satan falls, that everybody's going to see how this big and scary, how we thought he was so big and scary, mm-hmm. is no longer big and scary, you know? We're going to see that he was just a creature, you know, in the same way that Nebuchadnezzar was just a man. Because remember, God gives us authority over all the creatures on earth. And so when he falls, in the same way that Nebuchadnezzar falls, we're going to realize how small they were. You know, like that with God's authority, there was no reason to fear them. Your splendor has been brought down to Sheol, along with the music of your harps. Maggots are spread out under you, and worms cover you. Shining morning star. So there we see, you know, we see again, he's talking about Lucifer. Because,
mm-hmm.
well, I was reading in one of the commentaries how Lucifer is the title, his title. Because Lucifer means shining morning star.
Oh, so that wasn't his name.
It said that it could be a title or a name, but I was like, well, that makes sense how mm-hmm. Lucifer means shining morning star, but because then we refer to him as Satan.
Right.
how you have fallen from the heavens. You destroyer of nations, you have been cut down to the ground. So we see here that where he fell from, you know, he's fallen from the heavens, but we know he still had access to heaven because of Job. Remember? Because you're, we're going to see where it, and then where it reads, he falls from the heavens, and then it reads on, you destroyer of nations, you have been cut down to the ground. So there's going to be a time when he will only have access on earth. He won't be able to access heaven anymore.
Is it heaven, or is it maybe like that realm between?
Or the realm between, maybe. Well, we know he had access to heaven because of Job. Remember, he was talking to God when in Job, God asked him, what are you doing? Yeah.
Right.
So, but then there's going to be a time when he won't have access to heaven anymore. He will only have access to earth. You said to yourself, I will ascend to the heavens. I will set up my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the God's assembly in the remotest parts of the north. I will ascend above the highest clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. But you will be brought down to Sheol. So now we see that he's going to be brought down to hell, into the deepest regions of the pit. So we see where he was the morning star. And then, you know, Jesus tells us how he fell to earth like a lightning bolt. So he was,
right.
and then we're going to see in the future how he's cut down to the ground only, where he will only have access on earth. And then we're going to see when he's brought down to hell, into the deepest pit. But if we see here too, where he was, I will ascend, I will set up, I will sit on the mount, I will ascend, I will make myself like the Most High God. I will. So
right.
We see there that Lucifer was only thinking about himself.
About himself.
And was full of pride. And that in hell that there will only be, you know, maggots and worms. So people right now that think hell is no big deal, well.
Right.
Your friends are going to be maggots and worms.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And
I keep thinking about that scripture in the Gospels where the rich man is in hell looking up at the poor man in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be them, like, wait a second. Yeah. I didn't mean what I said, or, you know,
Can I come back? Can you just give me a few more minutes? Nope. And, you know, and it tells us here how he will be exposed, but you will be brought down to Sheol, into the deepest regions of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you. They will look closely at you. So his downfall will be exposed. You know, the once feared, you know, guy with all this power, you know, will be no more. And we will get to see that because, you know, because I know sometimes when we think that, like, we're singled out, you know, like, why is this happening to me, or why did it happen to me? And we think that people are getting away with, you know, with this, when they're doing wicked and evil stuff.
Right.
But this tells us that, nope, that the wicked will be judged, and that they will be exposed, that we will see their downfall.
And we had nothing to fear of them.
Right. No, exactly. So, okay. So in this, the man who caused the earth to tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who turned the world into wilderness, who destroyed its city and would not release the prisoners to return home. All the kings of the nations lie in splendor, each in his own tomb. So here God compares them to the good kings. Like, the good kings lie in their splendor, they each to his own tomb. And if you remember, like when David died, you know, that he got buried with his aunt, you know, his
his father.
Was it his father? Like, remember how when all the kings would die, that they got buried with them, with the ones before them, with the other kings and all that. And so here it says that but you are thrown out without a grave like a worthless branch, covered by those slain with the sword, and dumped wow. into a rocky pit like a trampled corpse. You will not join them in burial because you destroyed your land and slaughtered your own people. So here he's talking, you know, he's talking again about like Nebuchadnezzar, you know, like you're unlike the other kings. So this, you see where he's going kind of back and forth between Satan and you know, the physical and the spiritual. Yeah, he's going between the physical and the spiritual. So I thought that was a good, you know, a great revelation mm-hmm. to help us better understand how the scripture is written. The offspring of evil. Oh, go ahead.
Well, and to the evil, the people who choose evil or they think may be good to them, but it's not, they will pay.
Yes.
Or, you know, they think to themselves, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Or that they got away with it, you know, right. That they got away with something. And Nope. The offspring of evildoers will never be mentioned again. So with the evildoers, there won't be, so like Babylon, there will be no remnant of Babylon. They will be completely destroyed, you know, and it mentions the offspring, like those who because remember with Israel, he would say that he left a remnant, you know, like he saved a generation, you know, and here he's saying that there will be no future generations for those that do evil. No. Prepare a place of slaughter for his sons because of the iniquity of their ancestors. They will never rise up to possess the land or fill the surface of the earth with cities. So there won't be future generations of those that are wicked. I will rise up against them. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. And I will cut off from Babylon her reputation, remnant. So there we see remnant, offspring mm-hmm. and posterity. This is the Lord's declaration. I will make her a swampland and a region of herons, and I will sweep her away with the broom of destruction. This is a declaration of the Lord. So he says that what, three times?
Yep.
Just in that verse. So this is, you know, he's speaking literal and spiritual. So that's important to understand that and to take that very serious, and how he's very descriptive in right. all of this.
Assyria, right. So those that sin, they should choose change. You know, they should choose repentance.
Well, there's no way that I don't see how you can read this or hear this and think that it doesn't relate to us, yeah. you know, and the times that we right. live in now.
Right.
Assyria will be destroyed. The Lord of armies has sworn. As I have proposed, so it will be. As I have planned it, so it will happen. Like, this is a done deal. You know, like, people are not going to get away with none of their sins, because he addresses. Right.
Well, and God doesn't change. And I read, I can't remember where I read, it must have been like Instagram, but it said, you know, people want to put God in a box to where they want to. You know, and we can't do that. Like, God doesn't mm-hmm. change. He's not going to change for you. He has no favorites. There's no favoritism. If he's saying no here, it's going to be no across the board. It's not going right. to say, oh, because it's you, you can do it. No,
right.
It's
not. Like, and nothing deters his plans. You know, no. like what the he says is yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's just all the way through.
It reminds me of Esther. Remember Esther? It didn't stop the war that was coming. It was already a signed declaration. And so that's right. like this. It's already planned. We can just prepare for it. There's nothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's going to use you. It. And if you choose not to move how he's asking you to, he'll find somebody else to do it.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Right.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So I will break Assyria in my land. I will tread him down on my mountain. Then his yoke will be taken from them, and its burden will be removed from their shoulders. This is the plan prepared for the whole earth. You know, again, we see there, and this is the hand stretched out against all nations. The Lord of armies himself has planned it. Again, this is like he's telling us this is coming, you know, whether you like it or not, this is coming. And, it, you know, there's plenty of warning there. Therefore, Who can stand in its way? It is his hand that is outstretched, so who can turn it back?
Right.
And then we see a pronouncement again, the Philistines, Philistia, I don't know how you say that.
Philistia, yeah.
Philistia. Because remember that the Philistines and Israel, they were always at war with each other. Remember, they were always going against each other. And so now here he judges them also, because, you know, just because God had judged Israel and Judah, you know, the Philistines couldn't come back and say that they were like take advantage of them because they had humbled themselves, you know, because they were still God's people and they they were still going to find refuge in him, you know. Him, so right. Like God wasn't going to let the Philistines come and take advantage of
his people.
His people, while you know, because they were judged, you know, while right. they were had humbled themselves, because they might have seen it like as during an their judgment.
What, like they won't be? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That they won't be. Well, maybe I'm saying it wrong. That because you know Israel and Judah have been judged, and so the Philistines might have tried to use that as an opportunity to either make an alliance with them or to take advantage of that, but God wasn't going to allow that because they were still like not to see them as weak because they had been judged, you know?
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Or during our time that people might think we're weak, but we're not.
Right. You know? Right. So
they're going to come
exactly.
in and take advantage of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they were still, you know, they were still God's people and they had returned to him. And right. So they were still going to find their refuge in God. For a viper will come from the root of a snake and from its egg comes a flying serpent. Then the firstborn of the poor will be well fed and the impoverished will lie down in safety. But I will kill your root with hunger and your remnant will be slain. Well, you gates, cry out, city, tremble with fear, all Philistia. For a cloud of dust is coming from the north, and there is no one missing from the invaders' ranks. What answer will be given to the messengers from that nation? The Lord has found Zion, and his oppressed people find refuge in her. So there were, you know, God was going to make it known. Like they knew this was coming from God. They knew it was judgment. They weren't, you know, it wasn't. God had allowed this to happen. He remained in control the whole time.
Right.
During this. So.
And that's now, what I think we forget. When these bad things are happening, we forget that God is in control. Nothing goes through his fingers. You know, nothing exactly. slips through his fingers. He makes sure he knows what's going to happen.
Right. And, you know, when people are going through their stuff, to be careful there too, you know, not to think right. that, not to take advantage of that. And so I have my three questions.
Okay.
So my first one is, you know, we're seeing two things here. We're getting two visions here. You know, one of physical Babylon, where the King Nebuchadnezzar is dead. But then we're also seeing the spiritual king, Satan, and where Babylon is not the spiritual realm now. You know, he's the king of the spiritual realm now. Which is like the Babylon, which is like earth, right? So the spiritual, even though we can't see him, there's that spiritual war going on. He's the king. He's trying to, you know, to conquer, to divide and conquer. So in what part of your life are we serving that spiritual king? Is there any part of your life where you're serving that spiritual king and not serving God? Does that make sense?
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, absolutely.
You know, because remember, Satan doesn't want you to know that he's there, that he exists. Right. He doesn't want you to know that there's a spiritual Babylon
warfare going on.
Right.
Right.
You know, he wants you to think like, oh, okay, I see this happen in scripture. And yeah, Babylon, well, you know, the king Nebuchadnezzar died. Yeah, it's done. That's done. No, that's just a physical view, a detailed view of what's to come with Satan. So knowing that there's a spiritual war going on and that there's a fight against, you know, the king of this world, right? The worldly king, Satan, that what, is there any part of your life where you're serving him? Because you might not see it, right?
Right.
Or that might be something you're not aware of. And so we know that, you know, that Satan is all, you know, pride, that he fell because of his pride, you know, and we know that he's the father of lies, you know, we know that he comes to kill and destroy and all those things. So is there any area in our life that is serving him?
And it doesn't have to be physically bad, but it doesn't have to be something bad that they think they're serving the wrong person. You know what I mean?
Right, because it can be anything that's straying you from God. If there's anything that's straying you from God and serving him.
Right.
Because it could be, it's that idol, right? That where we talked about idolizing. It's our pride. It's where we're being selfish. Remember, he was, I will. You know, yes. Where we're being selfish. Is there any parts of our life that's marrying him instead of our true King Jesus Christ?
Right. Right.
And the second question, seeing, you know, so we know there was Judah, Israel, the Assyrians, Babylon, and then Cyrus, who later came and conquered Babylon. So we got a view of the good, bad, and the ugly, right? So where do you see yourself there in all those? If, you know, Judah and Israel, the Assyrians, the Babylons, where... After reading, you know, hearing all of their stories.
Which one's the good, the bad, and the ugly? Babylon's the ugly? So
I would say the Assyrians and Babylon and Cyrus are the ugly. And the good and bad, the good, I would say the good is probably Judah, because they still had the people, you know, some of the people that were still worshiping God. And then Israel had turned bad because they stopped worshiping God. Right. But then you have Assyria, Babylon, and Cyrus, who never worshipped God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so after hearing,
ugly.
Where do you see yourself, you know, in your life? In what stage or which one of those do you see yourself? Or can you relate to more, I guess? Because neither one escaped judgment. None of them escaped judgment. They all got judged, all of them.
Right. But doesn't he ask some of us to stay in Babylon? So we would have to.
We have to go through Babylon. We have to go through Babylon.
Right.
We have to go through Babylon.
So you're saying, where do we see ourselves right now?
Yes.
I think I'm still in Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as an exile, right? An exile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Or I could be between. I mean, I guess I could be in. In Judah now, the good, right?
Yeah.
Hold up.
Maybe
you can't ask us.
That's true. I can't. Just not.
Okay. I guess it's how do you feel your everyday.
Yeah, those are questions.
Well, I think it's good that you feel that you're, you know, Judah, because we believe, you know, Judah. Remember, Judah were the only ones left believing still at God, because Israel had stopped worshiping God. So
they were followers,
right? You know, and the Assyrians and Babylon and Cyrus, they rejected God. They had other gods. You know, the Assyrians, Babylon, they had other gods. So
right.
And I think the world we live in now is more of that, you know, of people not having other gods and not worshiping God and rejecting God, you know. So,
well, then if we're in Babylon during our life that we're walking dead, right? We're blind, we're in Babylon walking, thinking this is the way of life. And then once we give our life to Jesus and we're unveiled and we can see, then we're happy, right? So then I guess we can all go to Judah because we don't longer want to be in that wilderness.
We're like the Judeans, how do you say it?
Judeans.
But we're still conquered by Babylon. Right now, we're still conquered by Babylon.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I feel.
In exile in Babylon because we're surrounded by people who don't.
Unbelievers, right?
Yeah, unbelievers. There you go. Unbelievers.
Which could be family too. And so you're having to go. Yeah. You're there with them.
So in a way, I guess we're all, you're right, still in Babylon then. Until he comes, then we'll all really be in Judah.
Jerusalem. But I think it's good to recognize, you know, because I think if you don't ask yourself, well, wait, you know, to where if you're like, well, God, you know, God, whatever, this and that, like, well, you're okay, then you better think about that because then are you a Babylonian or an Assyrian or could you relate to Judah? Well, wait a minute. I relate to Judah. I want to go back to Judah. I want to be, you know, I want to claim Judah.
Yeah. Which I think is all of us, but we still got.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Those are good questions. And that'll get you thinking for sure. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you think like it doesn't matter, but God describes all of us here, you know? Like which tribe are you from? You know, like he's describing all of us here, you know, because if you reject God and you don't believe in God, well, then you're claiming to be one of these, you know.
I guess it's like Noah, right? Because Noah was in the middle of all that. He was like in Babylon, right? So that's kind of like where we're at. Like we're believers. We're like Judah, but we're in Babylon.
Noah got drunk and he slipped.
But you know, you have to at some point you have to make a choice. You know, he's telling you to make a choice because remember he was constantly telling them and warning them. Mm-hmm. And some of them chose not to return, you know, to Israel because even when Israel split from the northern kingdom and the southern kingdoms, you know, people were having to make a choice there too. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go with the ones that went north because they wanted that freedom, mm-hmm. or the ones that stayed in Judah because they wanted to stay, you know, be loyal to God and still continue to worship God? Because remember, even the priests first left to the northern kingdom and then they came back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Judah,
but so. I think aren't we going to read about that up in the coming chapters? Is Isaiah where he tells them he wants his people to stay in Babylon and don't return to Egypt, right? At a certain time.
No, well, that happened already. Because this is now he's judging. Here he's judging. He's already judging. Here Babylon already came in and conquered. You know, and so now he's removing now he's conquering Babylon so that the Cyrus come in, which I think is the Persians come in and wipe out Babylon. And then, and then his people return. You're right. His people, is that what you're talking about? And then his people return.
Right.
They start to rebuild Jerusalem. Is that what you're talking about?
No. I haven't read
Isaiah, so I don't know what's coming.
Well, I'm talking about like when we in the mornings, like when we're getting our scriptures and we're talking, there was one point where we were all kind of getting where we decided like, okay, we're getting Isaiah a lot. Maybe we need to start talking about Isaiah because he's so important, an important prophet. But I think like in his later chapters, there's a scripture in there where he's telling his people to stay in Babylon. If you want to live, you stay in Babylon. If you don't want to live.
Oh, right. Where he forced them to go into exile. Yeah. They had to. Right. Yeah, they had to go.
So we have to stay in Babylon and go through that life trouble.
Yes.
Sorry, I probably confused everybody.
No, that makes sense. I was getting confused too, yeah.
Okay, and then my third question. So we've seen where we get a glimpse of, you know, because in the beginning of Isaiah, where he's talking about the wrath of his cup, right? Remember when it's, you know, the cup, and we talk about his wrath. And then, but then we, in John, we also got a glimpse of where he speaks of the other cup, the cup of life, right? The one with the water from the springs of salvation, the cup of, you know, everlasting life. So there's two, you know, he's holding two cups, right? And he's kind of asking us to choose, which one do you want? You want the cup of my wrath, or do you want the cup of salvation, right? So which, you know, which one do you want? Choose which one. You know, because he's telling us what the cup of wrath is going to look like. You know, he's telling us in detail what that's going to look like.
Right.
And remember that the further you go in sin, the more you're going to drink of that cup.
Right.
You know, of wrath. Right. Do you know a couple sips or the whole cup? Because you won't survive the whole cup.
Right.
Do you want to choose the cup of salvation, the one that's that he speaks of in that that song of praise that we opened with, you know, that joy, right, that peace, where you have no more fear.
Right.
Because those that choose the cup of life, then you can start experiencing that that life now. You know, you don't have to wait until,
because we won't get, with his grace,
the end of times. Yep.
Right. With his grace, we won't get that, what we deserve.
Right.
He forgives us. And so our right, it won't be, I mean, of course, we all have to face him no matter what, you know, we all will come face to face with him. But once we repent, we're saved, and we will get that cup of salvation for sure. Right. We definitely ain't going to be drinking from that wrath cup. Right.
Right. I would hope so.
Yeah,
I would hope so. So, you know, like, what's keeping you, like, that choice is always in front of you, right? You know, which one do you want? And what's keeping you? Because the longer you wait, then, you know, the darker it gets. Yep.
Yeah. And you can't get out of it on your own. And that's one thing. A lot of people are like, I can do this. It's my life, my choice, but you can't get out of it without him.
Or that you have all the time in the world, and you know, like, what you don't. You might not.
Don't. Mm-mm.
But that's it. That's the end of chapter 14.
Okay, I think I have the perfect scripture, and then you sent it this morning, and I really liked it. It's Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That worked out perfect. Perfect prayer to end our session. And so thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you next week. For which ones do you have them lined up already for next week? In case any of our listeners would like to grab the
read ahead
and start read ahead. Yes.
15, 16, and 17.
Alrighty. So there you go. We'll see you next week.